Hi, and welcome back to Central Point Podcast with me, Shireen. I hope you had the most wonderful past week. And I know how I mentioned last week that who knows what will happen between the recording of last week and this week's episode and what God will do. And just as on point with the season that I am in, beloved, of course, God would take me through something so that what I am speaking in this episode comes from a testimony place, comes from a living place. And I just love the Lord for this. So this is episode 12, Go in Peace. Child of God, as we spoke last week about faith and resting with the Lord, setting up a pillow and resting in him in the boat. And if we're going towards him, we're walking on a word from the Lord towards him. Peter, right? I want to talk about when we have gone to him, seeking, believing, laying hold of him, and how we leave from his presence. How we leave from his presence, beloved. We're going to start in Mark 5, and it is the story of the woman who was healed from her issue of blood. And I'm going to start from verse 25. I want you to imagine, see it, take it all in, and let's really focus on Jesus' words to the woman after this encounter. So we're starting in verse 25, and we'll be going down to verse 34, and I'm reading in the New King James Version. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately. Don't we love that word? How many times have we read that word in this podcast? Immediately, the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "See the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Hallelujah. From fearing and trembling, she went and took hold of something. She didn't have the room, the space to ask, but she thought, if she can only but do this thing, if he is the man that people say he is, if I can just reach out, something might happen for me. And as she reached out, she felt it happen in her, and thinking she can maybe go off now, hide back through the crowd. No one knows her anyway. The Messiah turns around and says, "Who touched me? I felt power come out of me." I believe in King James, it's virtue. I felt virtue, and I love that word, virtue. And she, probably not really thinking that she would have to explain herself, comes fearing and trembling. Can you see this woman who has been afflicted for 12 years, spent all her money and gotten worse, and in a moment, as she takes a faith move, she feels in her body. Imagine having an affliction in your body. You know what it feels like to be in this situation, and you feel it dry up. You feel it cease. You have a new body immediately. But now you've got to explain yourself. And as you explain yourself and why you did it and why you took, because at this point you might think, I didn't ask and I'm sorry for taking, but this is my need and I've tried everything and this is my last hope. You're fumbling over yourself and you're trying to explain, but that is the truth and that's what's happened. And I do believe that I've been made well. And the one who turned around to see you encourages you, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith, that which you have that caused you to reach out, caused you to take what someone would say a risk, not taking full hold of him, but touching the hem of his garment. Understand, it is your faith that has done this. You believing in what I can do for you has done this. Your faith, my hem, is not what healed you, right? Because, you know, as she's relaying her message, you can imagine if he was already being thronged, oh my gosh, just reach out and grab him, you know? If she's saying this testimony, people are already thronging the Lord. They're already touching him. They're already doing these things. He has to make it very clear. The reason this testimony is yours, the reason that you feel this shift in your body, beloved, is because of your faith. And then he encourages her, go in peace. Leave in peace. Don't hide away and go through the crowd. Don't tremble and quiver before me anymore. Go in peace. What an encounter with Jesus. What an encounter with the Lord. How wonderful. The New King James says that you were made well, but the King James Version says, made thee whole. Made thee whole. And it's the same word we use for being saved, sodazo. She was saved by her faith. Is that not us, beloved? We have been saved by grace, so we have to take hold of that grace by faith. By faith, we have taken hold of Jesus and what he has done for us, and we declare ourselves saved. And if you are not quite there yet, don't worry, I wasn't there for a good chunk of my life until last year, where I declared myself saved. And here we are on Central Point, speaking about belovedness, daughtership, sonship, and the Father, and delighting in all that he is. Saved, beloved. Faith being the root of it. Now that word go, when he says go in peace, is hupago. Forgive me for the pronunciation. I don't know how to pronounce these words, but that is the word. And it means lead oneself under is the first meaning. It says withdraw, retire, depart, get hence, go away. But lead oneself under caused me pause because it took my mind to how we are not under law, but under grace. And if we are led by the fact we are under grace, how would we be walking in the world after coming to the Lord with whatever it is we're coming to the Lord for? As I had that thought, Romans 6, 14 and 15 came to me. And reading in the New King James Version, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I'm going to read it again because we need to have these words living inside of us, taking root in good, beautifully good soil, so they can take root and grow deep down within us and sprout the fruit of the Spirit. Because it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. You have to rejoice in verse 14. Sin shall not have dominion over you, beloved. Rejoice, healed. You are saved by his grace because you are under grace. It is done in the name of Jesus. It shall not have dominion. Tell it where to go. This is your reality. Actually, in Jesus, We can believe the word of God, our faith in the word of God, our faith in Jesus, our faith in what he will do in and through us, will save us, will make us whole, will do the thing, will heal us. It will, beloved. We are talking about God, beloved, the one that decided to become flesh, walk the planet, be tempted of his own creation. The humility of that will always have my mind blown on how good our Father is. That God is the one who has called, that has said, that has finished the work. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What kind of magnificent life! What then, shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? No, certainly not. Don't miss it. Don't think with your carnal mind. Don't see with your carnal eyes. Don't hear with your fleshly ears. That is not what I am saying. Because you are under grace, you are walking in the Spirit. You are walking, you are yoked to Jesus. Hallelujah. Understand this thing that used to so easily beset you as you were part of the old man, but now you're part of the new man. It cannot, it shall not, it will not have dominion. Having faith in this just reminds me of that race of faith that is spoken about in Hebrews. Hebrews 12 verses 1 to 2 in the New King James Version. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah, beloved, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The race of faith is the heading before these verses. I told you about testimony. This verse was in me today before I did this episode recording. Honestly, beloved, I went to pray myself and it felt like I was hiding a little bit. It felt like I was hiding what I wanted to pray over. So the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, you will come into agreement with someone else. So I called my friend and said, please, will you pray with me? I need to go to the Father on something, and I have to do it with someone else. And as we talked on the thing in which I needed prayer for, she encouraged me in looking to the joy of what this season I am in, when it passes, enduring the cross, look to the joy. We prayed and we came before the throne of mercy and grace, and I leave the throne with what I needed, because I was in a place a little bit of like, let this cup pass from me. I just feel like God really wanted these episodes to be really shaping, refining for me as a person as I speak on them in real time, honestly. And you know what's nuts is that in my spirit this morning as I woke up, God told me something, I had it confirmed. And then something happened and I'm like, I'm not okay. I feel like you guys are just getting a real life glimpse in how the daughter that God has in me, the child that I am with Abba. I'm gonna be real honest and always honest about that. I'm a big kid. I am a big kid and I go through all the ages, toddler, teenagehood, like grown woman, you know. We go through the spectrum and I just thought it was really uncanny that I'd be speaking on going in peace after coming to the throne for something and have this happen today, and God would encourage me to not come alone but to have someone stand in agreement with me. And so I would have to be honest with them in regards to what I am going through or how I see things, which further plants me in faith and further has me standing on what he has said to me. as we include others and we speak from our mouth, this is what God has said, and I'm struggling here, la la la. The body of Christ is so important. And there's something beautiful where two or three are gathered, he is in the midst. I believe these things. And once again, I am not just peace-filled, I'm delighted. I am delighted. So the race of faith came to mind when he said, go in peace, lead oneself under, to know that I am under grace. I will take hold of all that grace provides for me. I will walk according to what grace has achieved, accomplished for me. I get to, beloved, you get to. I want you to be encouraged in this episode. Another area where Jesus says, go in peace, is to another woman, a woman who is being judged, a woman who is looked down upon, but she comes and she falls before the Saviour as she pours out her love on him through an alabaster box. With her tears, with her hair, all of herself is involved. There is murmuring, there are thoughts, there are opinions on what she is doing for the Saviour. And the Lord speaks on her behalf. He defends her mightily, and that's in Luke 7, verse 47 to 50, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. She is not at the temple providing an animal for sacrifice for her sins right now. She is weeping at the feet of Jesus, pouring out oil. Once again, we have an example here of Jesus getting hyper-focused. A woman who no one is thinking about reaches out, touches the hem of his garment, looking to also disappear in the crowd. Jesus sees because he purposes to turn around and know whose faith touched him. Here, this daughter is at his feet and people are murmuring, if he were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman is touching him. Our beloved Messiah, our beloved Jesus, once again, doesn't care for the crowd, doesn't care for opinion, doesn't care for the prejudice. What he cares for is the faith in a person before him. Her, even being a sinner, coming before him at his feet and pouring out that fragrant oil, a sinner. He shows his love for us, that whilst we were yet sinners, he died for us. Grace. He declares, your sins are forgiven. She didn't say anything. But guess what, beloved? She didn't have to say anything. Her actions at this point spoke louder than her asking for forgiveness. The way she sees herself and the way she sees the Messiah are present in her actions at this time as she is at the feet of Jesus. Where she doesn't care for the crowd either, but she will lay her eyes on the one who she knows her very life is in. She is so grateful to the man before her. And he comforts her. He comforts her. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you whole. You are forgiven. Go. Go in peace. Do not leave this place the way you came in. I have met you. You have received what your faith has gone after. Leave my presence now with peace. You have loved much. And I love that Jesus puts it that way. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. You know what? I can hear the voices that Paul probably presumed would come up in Romans 6, verse 15. Oh, what then? Shall we sin so that we can love you more because we've been forgiven for more things? That attitude is terrible because her sins are pre-Jesus. Her sinful life, the version of her before Christ, is what it is. And so her sins that are many, and she's coming to the very one who can save her. As she takes a risk, look at all these risks. This is not even in my notes. Here we are. Look at this seeming risk. She walks herself into a Pharisee's home. Eyes upon the beloved. She is determined. She will do what she came here to do. Don't let the masses, don't let opinion, don't let what it looks like stop you from going after Jesus. Running to Jesus, laying hold of Jesus, receiving what you know can only come from Jesus. Leave the naysayers. Shut the voices off that will speak doubt into your situation, will speak doubt in what you're going after the Father for. Your need, beloved, is important to him. I want to return to the story of the woman with the issue of blood, because before that moment, a man had asked Jesus to heal his daughter. He'd come to him asking him to heal his daughter, who was not very well. And as Jesus is in transit, this woman touches him and he stops where he was going and he turns around to address the faith move that had happened in that moment. And after he has encouraged the woman, when we read from the account in Luke 8, I want to read from verse 48, and he, that is Jesus, said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." And just focus on this verse, verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying. So now Jesus has turned back his focus to the thing he was doing prior to healing the woman with the issue of blood. He answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." This just, understand, the ruler of the synagogue has just witnessed a woman get healed by reaching out. And Jesus professing at this time, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Wow, what wonderment. I knew it was a good idea coming to this man. She just touched his garment. She believed. And then someone from his household comes and says, "Hey, she's dead. She's beyond healing. Do not trouble him." And Jesus, not giving it a moment, turns to the Father and says, "Do not be afraid. As grief comes in, your daughter is dead. We are human." The wave that comes up, the shock. And Jesus turns that kind face, that reassurance. "Do not be afraid. Only believe. Only believe, beloved. And she will be made well." She will be made whole. She will be saved. And even though "go in peace" is not in this correspondence with the Father, what he's saying is, "Have peace. Your faith will do the same." Beloved, have peace. Your faith will do the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't know who needs encouraging in that, who needs that to really take root inside of them. Now I want to read from an Old Testament example, which is taken from 1 Samuel 1. It is about a woman named Hannah, and she has been desiring a son. And at this point, she is beside herself. She is beside herself before the Lord. Reading from verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. When I read affliction, I think of the woman with the issue of blood and how Jesus said, go in peace, be healed of your affliction. Now they are different things. The woman of blood, it was a disease. Hannah, it's depression. Both require healing. She is depressed. She is weeping. She is in anguish. Before she speaks, she has tears. There is Mary before the feet of Jesus, just tears. This woman opens her mouth and she makes a vow. Give what I want, dear Lord. Please provide me what I am desiring, and I will give him right back. I'm not even asking to keep him. I am asking so I can bear him, but I will give him to you. Allow me the privilege to give birth to a son. Continuing in the story, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And I want to focus on Hannah's response to this. She has said, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. She is being so honest. I am consumed. Verse 18, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Verse 8 of this chapter, her husband asks her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? She is weeping. She is not eating. Her heart is grieved. Her husband can see it. She goes to the Lord. She pours herself out. The priest, Eli, says, hey, go in peace. And may God grant your petition. At that moment, Hannah has a choice. Stay grieved. Say, I have poured myself out, but it's no use. He has forgotten me. She has a choice, and she chooses faith. Hannah chooses faith, and Samuel is born. And Samuel anointed David as king. There is so much Samuel did. All from the coming to the end of herself in the wait and not caring what people think, and pouring herself out before the Lord. And when she does that, when she's poured herself out, she leaves and she's no longer sad. You're going from the high of depressive state to taking hold of for new life, in that she is being given new life. She is being given a promise to believe in, to have faith in. Beloved, what is your countenance when you've intentionally entered the presence of God and you leave from your knees, you leave from the place of prayer? What is your countenance? Do you leave and you're still heavy laden? Do you leave and you're sighing? Do you leave and it's made no difference whatsoever? Hebrews 11 verse 6 reads, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Jesus said to the Father when he heard that his daughter had died, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." Beloved, do you believe? Belief is not enough for the Father to take notice of you. Have you somehow convinced yourself that your need and your belief in him to cater to that need is not enough? So you have started to do things to move him in some way to take notice of you, because you simply believing him for it and coming to him believing he can do it is not enough. I want to encourage you, it is more than enough, because it is your belief that will order your steps at that point. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." If only you believe, the Lord will direct. We must come to him believing that he is. He is good. He is faithful. He has your best interest always. The thing about these accounts, these are all, well, Hannah is pre-Jesus even being in the earth, but the woman with the issue of blood and Mary, these are pre-Jesus's death, burial and resurrection. Beloved, you are living in a post-Jesus death, burial and resurrection reality. You have such things as the peace of God. You have such things as in living under grace, come to the throne boldly. You get to because he has done it. You get to because he has done it. Beloved, he has made that way. He has made that way. He has made that way to him. The only way to him is through Jesus. He has provided it because he wants you to have that way. He wants you to have that access. He wants you to ask. He wants you to depend on him. He wants you to lean on him. He wants you to run to him for refuge. He wants you to dwell. He wants you to abide. He desires this from you. He desires this for you. As we saw last week, he wants you to rest in him. What you have come to the Father for, what you have laid before the throne, what you have placed in his hands, what you have purposed in prayer for, do not take what you planted in faith and dig it up with doubt. Leave it in the loving hands of the Father. Leave it at the throne of grace and mercy. Leave it there. You came to him with it for a reason, because you know only he can do it, because you know he is the one, because you know that he is God. So do not turn back around and go, "Actually, let me take that back and worry about it some more." Trust the one true God with your request, and do not think that you have asked amiss. If you come with him with a whole heart, trust me, I have had it happen. Holy Spirit will interrupt my prayer when I'm praying for something that I should not be praying for. I remember praying, I can't share the details, because it includes someone else, but I was praying in a direction for something and I was like, "Lord, make it not so." I was on my knees, I was ready to petition the throne. Holy Spirit stopped me and said, "Do not pray for that. You cannot stop this. This is going to happen." What am I going to do? Stay on my knees and go, "No, I'm asking you to. No, the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, "Do not pray in the direction you are praying, because this will happen, so there is no point praying against it." I had to sit there on my knees still and not understanding why, I was like, okay, if you're saying that it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And I'm going to trust your purpose in it for it. I actually left that moment in peace. And I'm telling you, I ran to my knees, ran to my bedside. I was not peaceful in this thing at all. And God says, stop. And it's interesting. I didn't leave from my knees with peace, having received the answer to my prayer. I just received a word from the Lord. He met me and he was clear. You're asking amiss because you're praying against my will. And so I had to have peace in his choice. God doesn't play games, beloved. It's not a game playing God. This relationship you have with your Abba, it is the purest of relationships. He is the healthiest person, being you can have a relationship with. There is nothing to work through with the Lord. It is all on our side, our distorted view, our misconstruing of the word of God, our looking at him as wrath-filled, as waiting for us to mess up, as watching us, as listening to our every word as if it's a problem. If you're like, be careful what you say because the Lord hears everything. Can I say this? Good. You want the creator of the universe hearing everything you say. He is that involved in your life. He will hear where you are about to step in of disobedience. He will hear how your heart really feels about a situation. He knows exactly who you are. He knows you inside and out. And he is ready, prepped and primed to meet you, to save you, to come and deliver you. He prepared the way for Jonah, knowing that his calling to Jonah will take him on a sea that will cause him to be overboard. He prepared the whale for Jonah, the scripture says. Prepared the whale. That is the Father we serve. He is primed and ready to save you always. Because he gave his son for that very purpose, to save your life. And he would love for you just to walk in obedience all the time and hear him and live in the abundant life that he has for you always, right? But we make our choices and we delay sometimes and we question and we're like, well, that's just not really looking how I thought it would look. And you said, but I'm not really sure that you meant it how you said it. And I know I already prayed this, but I'm not really sure you heard me correctly. We're human. He knows it. He knows whom he created. Yet he is ready to be beside us and he is primed to hear us. He actually desires for us to live in the fullness of our life, hid in Christ. He wants you to shine in the world. He calls you the light of the world. He wants you to shine. He doesn't want your countenance low. He doesn't want to see you depressed. He doesn't want those things for you. He has healing for you. He has an answer for you. He wants you to know that you are his, that you are loved, that you are beloved, that you are seen, taken care of. And what you have is a distorted view right now. You are unable to see the Father correctly. You're unable to go to him with the heart that is necessary, believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. We must have faith in him. He is ready to have our countenance bright, to have us light in the world, for us to be the salt of the world. He wants us to be this way. He has called us to be this way. He has made a way for us to be this way. Walking with the Lord, yoked to Jesus, life hid in Christ. I think of Jesus' invitation, Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. His ways are perfect, beloved. Come to him. You are weary, come to him. Come to him and hear him say, when you are finished with your encounter, go in peace. I want to close with this scripture. Faith triumphs in trouble, is what I've got in my notes here. And it's Romans 5, verses 1 to 4, and it reads, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, because that is awesome, not only that, but listen to what else. But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Let me read that again. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Believe him, beloved. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, hope does not disappoint. Do not leave the presence of God disappointed, cast down like you have not been heard, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Jesus said to Mary, she has loved much. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. We have been forgiven, beloved. Love him. Love him. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is your reality now. Read the words, listen to them, meditate on them, have them live inside you, pray them. Lord, make it my reality, because I know it's already true. It has been done. Help me to fix my eyes on you. Beloved, you know. You know, I'm hoping that you know who you belong to. So please, go in peace. I'm going to pray us out, as I always do. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, thank you so much for these examples that we have read in your scriptures. Thank you so much for the words of Jesus, the highlight of faith, the peace we can leave with. Father, let us not be dismayed. Let us not be overtaken, especially when we have come to you with what is burdening us. Lord, I pray that your love just dwell in us richly, Father God. Let it be a well that we drink from. The reality of our lives in Christ, the reality of what Jesus has achieved for us, the way in which you really want us to come to you, how your listening ear is available to us, how you are primed and ready and transfixed on our lives. You hear us. You care about us so much. And it is our faith that is enough for you to come incredibly close, for you to speak a word into our lives, for you to make a move in the Spirit on our behalf, for you to have a shift in our atmosphere. It is faith. Father God, we come in faith. We believe you. We are grateful. Thank you for calling us children. Thank you for saving our lives. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that sin shall not have dominion over us. What a promise. What a blessing. What a way we can live in the earth by your Spirit, which you have given, as Romans 5 verse 5 has told us, that we have been justified by faith, that we do have this grace that we are now under. This is truth, this is facts, this is reality. Why are we downcast? It's like that verse, why is my heart downcast? Lord, may we trust you. May we really trust you. May we trust, if we are asking amiss for something you really don't want for us, that you will let us know. Sometimes we may not like it, but you will show us the greater purpose in your reasoning. You are about the business of saving multiple lives. You use your children to save multiple lives. I just ask that the faith of those listening to this podcast right now, that their faith be increased. and that when they leave your presence after petitioning, after giving supplication, after praying, that they always leave with peace because they know whom they believe in. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Okay, thank you so much for joining me in this episode. I'm really filled right now with this, just this overwhelming feeling that like you are actually with us, dear Lord, right? You are actually with us, and what a wonder and what a privilege to have the sovereign of the universe with us. I pray you are encouraged. Have a beautiful week ahead, and by God's grace, I will see you next week with the final episode on peace, but it's different. This one is different. Ooh, I'm coming for you, beloved. I'm gonna encourage you in a whole other way. Let's go. I'm excited for that episode. I will see you then by God's grace. Take care.